Jason, the Bears' month-long winning streak is over. We'll talk about that more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. It's Jason Leisure. We are at M&T Stadium in Baltimore, where the Bears just lost 30-16 to the Ravens, who are playing without two-time MVP Lamar Jackson. Jason, you and I had different thoughts about this game coming in, even after the Jackson injury. But boy, either way you cut it, it's a pretty bad loss for the Bears.
Yeah, if I was doing catchphrases still, which I'm not.
You should.
No, because that's for happy times. But if I was to do one for this, here's what it would be. I mean, let's talk about the expectations for this real quick here, just to kind of set the framework for what we're about to get into with the Bears' 30-16 loss in Baltimore. I feel like this is a game that they absolutely should have won, a matchup that they absolutely should have won, because you're really going off the Ravens' brand and mystique, which is not there. You take that away, you make this a neutral colored team in, you know, an unnamed city, and you are, yes, going on the road, yes, you have your own injuries, but you are playing a defense that has allowed more points than anybody in the league, and you are playing their third quarterback in Tyler Huntley. That is a game you need to win if you are serious. It is signaling to everyone when you lose to this team and lose as decisively as the Bears did that you're not to be taken seriously. That's the signal that that sends. You felt a little bit different, significantly different, I should say. What was your kind of stage for this coming in?
I thought this was a really tough spot for the Bears for a couple of reasons. Number one, the Ravens are 1-5. This was their Super Bowl, and next week will be their Super Bowl, and they will they know the hill they have to climb. I also think that the bye week helped. It helped Roquan Smith get healthy. It helped some of their other players hopefully reset, I guess, in their minds. And quite frankly, I didn't know if the Bears were good enough to go on the road and beat a team that was not the Raiders or even the Commanders. And I thought it was a bad spot. You and I talked on Wednesday that I thought if they could go 1-2 in their three games, that would be about right, you know, both here at Cincinnati and at home
you
against
the
Giants. Yeah, I mean, or no, one. I said, oh. Yeah, I mean, if they were 5-4, they were 5-4 after 9, that would be right. And you said, you know, we need to have higher standards than that. And we do, but I think winning on the road is hard.
I didn't have this as a game that they even would have a chance at going into the season. And this week, Pat, with Lamar playing, with that assumption. And we can get into that later, the Lamar factor of him, of them revising their injury report retroactively.
Okay.
And scrapping him on Saturday morning. But I think we need to start with Caleb Williams. There were a lot of warning signs on Sunday for me. The check engine light is definitely on. Because one of the things that you probably are tired of me saying is, you know, it should take about till halfway through the season for things to really click with him and Ben Johnson. They're 7 games in. They're getting close to the halfway point. It's not close. Mm-hmm. It is not clicking with Ben Johnson in the way that Ben Johnson needs him to. That's not happening. But even that aside, Patrick, you're seeing mental errors. You are seeing preventable errors from Caleb Williams that should not be happening.
There were 2 intentional grounding penalties in the first half alone. At some point today, somebody asked Roma Dunze about his role in the intentional grounding, and he said, which one? And that is never a good thing, Jason. I think the first one, or the second one, Caleb said, the one that he threw toward the left sideline, not directly sideways, was he said a choice route with Colson Loveland where they were on 2 different pages. But it was brutal. It took the Bears out of field goal range, and it left Cairo Santos to try to sprint onto the field and attempt to make a 58-yarder as the first half expired. If the Bears don't have the penalty there, they're coming away with 3 points. At least they're taking some momentum out of the building going into halftime, and they're giving themselves a chance. Then he throws the interception in the fourth quarter, about 7 minutes left. They get the ball down 3. He's got Roma Dunze on a shallow in-breaking route. Thinks it's a good decision even now, but makes a bad throw, throws it a little late, a little behind him, and it gets undercut and intercepted. It was maybe his worst throw of the season, Jason, and it came at the worst moment because they'd been fighting the whole second half to have a chance to come back and take the lead. And they got their chance. And, you know, they've spoken all year, Jason, about how good Caleb is in the got-to-have-it situations. That was a got-to-have-it situation. It didn't turn out well at all.
The interception?
Yes.
What did you make of his explanation for that? That it was not a bad read, but a bad throw.
I would love to be part of the conversation between him and his coach, because his coach said he probably should have thrown the ball somewhere else.
I think he should have thrown the ball somewhere else. I don't think it was a lazy throw. I think it was that he didn't – was it Wiggins?
Yeah.
He didn't read correctly that Wiggins was coming right for that. The stuff with Caleb Williams that is very basic and – you know, rules like intentional grounding that are in place in college. That's not a new NFL thing that he has to adjust.
He had trouble with it last year, too. This is not a new problem for him.
He has three of them this year. And the end of game stuff. I mean, if Matt Eberflus watches this game, he's going to be watching that end of half, end of game from Caleb Williams and saying, see? Because that end of half where he, I mean, that intentional grounding was absolutely a torpedo mm-hmm. to what they were trying to accomplish at that time. At a time, Patrick, when they know Baltimore's getting the ball to start the second half. They had to burn their last timeout to prevent a runoff on that. And it sent them to what? Third and, where are we at here?
27?
Third and 15. Instead of a makeable second and five with one timeout still in the bag, now you've got a third and 15 with no timeouts. You end up having to scramble out there with what the Bears call their hurricane unit for a fast field goal. 58 yards is not the distance you want to be trying that on, and they end up short. There was a sequence though, right before the pass interference. The intentional grounding, where 23 seconds runs off the clock between plays for the Bears.
Right.
On a 5-yard pass. I mean, that can't happen. If you go to the end of the game, now you watching at home and me watching in the press box, that is definitely a time where I'm saying the game's over. It's inconsequential, but the Bears don't feel that way.
It's instructive, even if it is inconsequential.
The Bears aren't playing it like it doesn't matter. So to them, the context of this end of game scenario is very real. And Ben Johnson calls a quarterback sneak on third and goal from the one, and they don't get it. And Patrick, then 30 seconds goes off the clock.
Do you know why 30 seconds go off the clock?
Because you ran a quarterback sneak.
Very good.
You said, let's pile everybody into a big mess.
Yes, and let's incentivize the Ravens' defensive linemen to lay on top of our quarterback and not move. And Ben said after the game, that was a bad play call. That was my fault.
That is something he has been good about. Better would be not making decisions like that, and I say that in all seriousness because he's hired to be a guy who doesn't mess up like that.
Right.
I mean, that's his reputation, is this guy doesn't mess up
and
things
they
like
were,
that.
They were hampered a little bit because you've got, a 43-yard pass to DJ Moore just to get him down there, in which Caleb was absolutely crushed. And he gets up, and he's limping and has to limp all the way down the field. They never spike the ball, so they never, get to collect themselves.
What do you say about the ankle, by the way?
I asked if he was how it was. He said, it's fine.
Okay, go on.
In fact, he didn't even say ankle. I said you were limping around pretty good. He goes, it's fine.
Okay, go on.
So we'll see. But yeah, it was a circus. And you brought it up, and I think it's a great point that, you know, you can squint and see a little bit of Thanksgiving 2024 there, and that's the thing in the world that Bears fans should want to run as far away from as possible.
This exposed problems that the Bears have been having. Some of this isn't new. The penalties, the sloppiness of pre-snap penalties especially. Intentional grounding is not a pre-snap penalty, but I'll throw it in there as an avoidable penalty. The Bears had 11 penalties on Sunday. Red zone trouble, that is a continuation of problems we've already seen. They go 1-for-3 in the red zone. I'm going to reuse this phrase. That was the check engine light for me. They get to the end of the first quarter. They've run 22 plays to just 3 for Baltimore. They have gotten inside the Baltimore 25 on both of their possessions, and they're only up 6-0. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is big alarm going off. 6-0 when you're dominating like that is not good. Then on the other side of the ball, they have survived on takeaways. They have not been a solid defense most of this season,
right,
and they have offset that with takeaways. Well, what happens when you play a team
that is being ultra careful and not turning the ball over.
Yeah.
Well, then you have this. Then you have a situation where the Bears are giving up 5 yards a carry, and Tyler Huntley has a 116 quarterback rating on you. I believe that was his final number, something like that. And you don't have any interceptions or strips that will offset that. And these are all problems that have been ongoing
for them. And your 2 points, I think, are related. I think if the Bears come away from the first quarter with 14 points or even with 10, number one, you set the tone that the Ravens then can't play super conservative, can't just run the ball and, you know, get to third and six and third and four.
You'd be in your dream scenario of their third quarterback.
Yeah, of making them play.
Having that being an obvious passing situation.
And you also have a frustrated fan base here that probably would have booed them off the field at halftime if they were down 14-3 or whatever it is. And instead, they just kind of get to stick around. And because they stick around, the game flow situation plays more into their favor than it does the Bears. And it's just, it's, you know, it was too easy. I think I tweeted it. I may have said it out loud. The first drive was too easy until they got stuck there at the 5 yard, what is first and goal at the 6, and they wound up kicking a field goal. And the second drive got to the 21. Boy, there's a time. That's a dagger there if they can score two touchdowns. And they didn't, and they've been talking about it for weeks. And I asked Caleb, like, you know, if you are what you emphasize, like, you've emphasized this, why isn't it working? And he essentially said, well, we got to emphasize it more. Oh, okay. I think his own accuracy is probably partially to blame there, or maybe mostly to blame. I don't know.
Ben Johnson isn't to blame, but it's Ben Johnson's more, at least not like number one on my list.
I think he's to blame as much as any head coach is to blame for their team's miss, you know, like for their mistakes. Of course he's to blame.
I don't think he's top of my list, but okay. It is his job to figure out how to solve these problems.
But when you look at the pre-snap penalties and bad shifts, bad timing on everything, if he's not to blame, who is?
No, you're right about that. Well, there can be undisciplined players. Yes.
But it's not just one guy. It'd be easier if it was one guy. Yes. It's seven guys. Yeah. Continue.
Let me rephrase then. Mm-hmm. He does bear quite a bit of blame for this. He's just not first in my mind right now. But even when you're seeing things that you could say, hey, that's not Ben Johnson's fault that Caleb Williams isn't getting it, or that their defense is not, you know, stopping the run or something like that. It is his job to fix those.
Mm-hmm.
He is supposed to be the solution-oriented. He likes to say that he and his coaching staff are the best that there is in terms of adjustments and adapting, and you're not seeing him solve those problems. I would love to know from his mind, does he think he's coaching to the team that he wants the Bears to be, or is he coaching to the talent that he has? Because you don't have Jared Goff, you don't have the backfield that you had in Detroit, you don't have quite the offensive line, I don't think, that you had in Detroit, and you don't have that reliable defense on the other side. You have to coach to what you have. And at the end of that first quarter, while the Bears dominated some stat aspects like time of possession and things like that, and plays, there was an obvious problem there that they never really got over with the red zone failures.
Yeah.
And you have to figure out what Caleb Williams can do, and you need to coach to that at this point in the season.
I think there were moments both today and a week ago where you could feel Ben say, screw it, we're going to run the ball, and maybe take the ball out of Caleb's hands. And that happened, I think, early in the fourth quarter against the Ravens. And maybe that's his adjustment. Maybe his adjustment is, we're not going to have Caleb run around and play backyard football just because we're down by a score or two.
Caleb hasn't been great in four games.
Mm-hmm.
The last four
Cowboy
games.
Cowboy game?
The Cowboy game was the last game where Caleb was really good. The Washington game, he did have a 98-something passer rating, 98.6 passer rating. But he was under 60% completions. He was 250 yards because of that 55-yard touchdown on a dump-off to Swift.
Okay, Troy Aikman, yes.
I'm not saying that it was a lucky play, but I'm saying it spiked Caleb's passer rating, I think, by 20 points for the day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other than that, he wasn't good in that game. He was just kind of okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's been okay or worse than okay for the last four games, and that cannot be happening right now. Yeah. He cannot be sliding the wrong direction.
They were the only team in football to score 21 points or more in each of their first six games. They did not do that today, obviously. But I would point to, I mean, the defense needs... Caleb is the main reason why they lost this game, I believe, and I think you believe too. But I also think that you need a defense that won't give up 30 points to Tyler Huntley.
Yeah, let's talk about their situation defensively. They're down four of their top five corners right now for Sunday, for this past Sunday's game. Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon are on IR. Tyreek Stevenson is out with a shoulder injury, and Terrell Smith also on IR. He's been out for the whole season. But they have Nashawn Wright, who a lot of Bears fans had never heard of before he had kind of this breakout training camp. And then guys who all of us had never heard of in some of these other spots. So they are depleted at corner. But I am not going to give that a lot of credence when the Ravens are on their third quarterback. And I mean, they hadn't won without Mar Jackson. They were 0 for their last six going back a few years. I'm not sure, but I think the last time they won without Lamar was when Tyler Huntley beat the Bears at Soldier Field in 2021. The last two games, Tyler Huntley and Cooper Rush at quarterback, they scored a total of 13 points.
Yep.
The Ravens did. So I'm going to call the injury situation a wash from that perspective.
Well, it is dire, though, or it's not good, at least. And, you know, that was, you know, they had some defensive line issues today, too. You had Dominique Robinson get hurt on literally the opening kickoff and not return. And then you had Shamar Turner come out with an injury.
A knee injury, and he was immediately ruled out, and he was carted to the locker room with a towel over his head.
Yeah, which is never a good sign. And, you know, they can backfill that a little bit. You know, Austin Booker, I think, is going to be put on their 53-man tomorrow, probably, or Monday, as you hear this. But they're not good enough to go out and be depleted and play at a high level, I don't think, just in general. And I think it's going in the wrong direction.
Ben Johnson's not a defensive-minded coach. All of his background for his entire life has been on offense. But that comes with the territory of having the head job. You've got to be able to come up with solutions for anything that in any facet of your team, or else you don't belong there. And I'm not jumping to that with Ben Johnson.
No.
Ben Johnson needs to be able to intervene on Dennis Allen's side of the ball and come up with some solutions.
Is Roma Dunsay the only thing that's really working, or the only thing that worked well Sunday?
Sunday, yeah, I mean,
7 for 114 is pretty good, Jason.
Yes, and he's had such a great second season already. I like, in general, the way Swift is headed as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is starting to look the way the Bears imagine it, behind a good offensive line and with a refocused effort to run north-south by Swift. But you're not seeing production out of the tight ends. Cole Kmet was not producing a lot before he got hurt. Colston Loveland on Sunday, 3 catches for 38 yards. That's not a difference maker. DJ Moore is playing well. I think he's a guy you can count on. He's got a track record where even when he has an off game, you know what he is, and he was very good. He had 4 catches for 73 yards against the Ravens on Sunday. There's a few things there to work with. I think it really just, I got to go back to Caleb Williams. Ben Johnson has to figure out what he can do. And he has got to coach to that. And if Ben Johnson believes that Caleb Williams can become capable of more, then that's a project for the next offseason, not right now.
Well, he used the word flashes, and I think it's right. I mean, there were two or three or four throws today, Jason, where you sit there and you go, oh, my God. And then there was a lot of just bad in there. And, you know, I think it is different than Justin Fields. I think it's different than Mitch Trubisky. I think both you and I agree that he is starting with a much higher skill level.
He's better. He was better than either of those guys when he started.
Right. Or when he began.
When he began his career.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you do have to be consistent enough to win games that are jump ball games. And this was one, even though I believe the Ravens, I think the game went off with the Ravens still favored. Maybe by one?
It had dropped in the wake of the Lamar announcement on Saturday from Ravens by 5.5 to Ravens by 1.5. I don't know where it ended up after that.
Let's talk about the Lamar thing real quick.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson said, obviously, we prepared for Lamar all week. He kind of was pretty dismissive of it. John Harbaugh says after the game, hey, nobody was trying to trick anybody.
John Harbaugh called it an honest mistake, quote unquote, honest mistake. He continues by saying, I can tell you this, nobody's trying to hide anything. There's no advantage to be gained with that.
I don't believe that.
He also pleaded ignorance. I have nothing to do. He said, I'm not involved in those rules. I don't know those particular rules. That's in the training room, in the PR.
Oh, man. PR staff getting
in the other side. It's not in the football side.
Let's talk about those rules real quick. The NFL's injury report rules are, if you do anything in practice that is different than your normal practice obligation.
Because of
your injury. Then you cannot be called a full participant.
So in this scenario, Lamar Jackson could have practiced, tell me if I'm correct with this, because you have researched this thoroughly and wrote about it in the paper for Sunday morning. If Lamar Jackson practices the entire practice, but he does some or most or all of that work running the scout team because of an injury.
Or because he's not playing. Yeah, right. Yes.
That is not counting as full participation.
That is not full participation.
And this is a new rule or
no, it's
this
been, has around,
been around for decades?
Been around 70 something years.
Oh, okay.
The timeline of it Saturday, Jason, was Ian Rappaport from NFL Network reports, hey, actually, Lamar was running scout team on Friday, not with the starters.
Oops.
Oops. League-owned media, by the way.
Little oopsie-doo there on leaking your bad behavior to league-owned media.
And less than 2 hours later, the Ravens put out two things. Number one, they...
Lamar's out.
Lamar is out.
They suddenly decided that, Pat.
Yeah. And then they eventually put out a statement that's... And in the moment, they say, actually, we made a mistake. Turns out, he should have been limited, and we called him full. Sorry. And then I would add parenthetically... But we made the Bears think that he was going to play for a full 24 hours.
That's the part that is really problematic because you see game designations altered in either direction on a Saturday or day before game, whatever, after the final, quote-unquote, final injury report has come out. You see them changed morning of the game sometimes. Right. That happens, and that is whether teams are using that for competitive advantage or not. It's at least plausible. Going back retroactively and changing somebody's practice participation that's the red flag. And I don't think the Bears should use that as an excuse because obviously the change benefits them.
Yeah.
You'd rather face Tyler Huntley than a future Hall of Famer in Lamar Jackson, a two-time MVP. But it's the principle of it that I would be offended by I would have a major issue with if I was the Bears. Why are we playing by this rule and our opponent is not? That I would take major issue with. Most of the comments from the Bears, I talked to three defensive players. We talked to Ben Johnson. I would sum all of that up in as basically, we're not using that as an excuse.
Sure.
That is basically their take no matter what you have asked. But I would say that there is a major issue, and they will probably privately raise a major issue about just – Are we all playing by the same rule or not?
The NFL is going to investigate this further, and I would not be surprised in the least if both the Ravens and John Harbaugh were fined.
It's almost a guarantee that they will,
And here's a reason for it as well. This week, Jason, was not the week to go monkeying around with injury reports.
Because of the NBA stuff?
Because of the NBA gambling scandal, in which, in part, players were removing themselves from games saying they were hurt. In order for bettors to cash the under on their bets. And, you know, one of the first sentences of the league's injury report documentation is given the fact that sports gambling is legal, we need to maintain trust in our product with our fans. And this is John Harbaugh can say all he wants that nobody was trying to fool anybody. But the fact of the matter is they had Tyler Huntley playing with the starters on Friday. And then came out and said that the regular starter was a full participant. That is absolutely trying to convince the Bears that you were going to start Lamar.
And they ruled Lamar out real fast once they were caught in this by they or Lamar or both leaking this to, again, league-owned media.
Well, and like you said, it's good news for the Bears that Lamar didn't play, but that doesn't make this not a violation.
It doesn't excuse it not being fair, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That the other thing, too, is circumstantial evidence. The Ravens play on Thursday night, I believe, next.
Against the Dolphins.
And there is a reasonable assumption that they were factoring that into their decision on Lamar Jackson. If you're saying this guy's hurt, we may not want to play him twice in a short span like that. Mm-hmm. If you're obviously going to choose to play him in the later of the two games, then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. Let's talk about Roquan Smith real quick, and then we'll get out of here, Jason. You and I ducked into the Ravens locker room once we got done with the Bears.
And a nice chat with Roquan.
Within 10 steps away from the front door was Roquan Smith. You and I talked to him. He seemed pretty circumspect about the whole Bears thing. He didn't go out of his way to rip them necessarily. He said it turned out good for him, and you know he made $100 million after getting traded, and that it turned out well for the Bears. He said it was nice to see some of the guys he knew, from the equipment manager to Jaquan Brisker to some other people.
Good shout out to T-Med. He said, quote, "It was awesome being able to see a lot of people I haven't seen, including you guys in the media."
What's up, Roquan?
Wow. Thanks, buddy.
Did he talk to Ryan Poles? He did not. Has he really talked to Ryan Poles since he traded him? He has not. I think that's a notable sidebar.
There. He did wish him well, though. He did speak positively about Ryan Poles.
Yeah, I mean,
and he talked about how it all has worked out. He said, "I love it here, and they love me here. That's perfect."
And he also said that had this game been played a couple weeks after he got traded, or a year after he got traded, he probably would have gone in with pretty different emotions.
And about it's about 3 years, right?
Yes, yeah. And. And you know, he was more than anything just happy that they got a win, because they were really desperate for a win. And now they sit at 2-5. Jason, the Bears have got Joe Flacco, the Cincinnati Bengals, who lost, by the way, to Justin Fields today. I don't know whether you saw that. Coming up next week is, I'm going to beat the drum of winning on the road is hard, regardless of who you're playing, but You obviously lumped this into a game that a good team would win, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely that. But I would throw out this, you know, vulnerability for the Bears of, I saw Joe Flacco beat them 2 years ago.
Yep.
And I remember watching Joe Flacco in that game in Cleveland, that another one that the Bears should have won, and feeling like, watching him live, it's like, this guy is playing in slow motion. Everything moves so slowly. He doesn't have the arm. And of course, he's 40, right?
He's also actually playing in slow motion. Yes.
Right.
Right.
And yet, that was good enough to beat the Bears.
He knows where the ball's going.
And I'll give them and everybody the same warning that I always do in this scenario. If you have an experienced quarterback like that, and you give him time, he's going, no matter how limited he might be physically, he is going to find your lapses.
Yep.
In the secondary. So if they're not able to pressure Joe Flacco in Cincinnati, that could get pretty dicey.
Jackson Dart the following week is a different story. He's somebody trying to figure it out, and he'll do it without Cam Scataboo, who had a really nasty injury today. So
when you bring up those games coming up, I mean, it's important to remember the Bears are 4-3 with two very winnable games coming next. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that they will win those games and get right to what would be 6-3 then. But it's the reason that I want to stop on that for a second is to highlight the opportunity that is ahead for them if they can fix it. That has been an interesting dynamic to this season, and it's not that different than what we talked about last season, where you had a team in year three of its rebuild should be kind of ready, mm-hmm. but a rookie quarterback coming on. Now you're in year four of a rebuild, so the team should definitely be ready, but you've got a new coach coming on. This is not a just throwaway year. This is not a no-stakes year for the Bears. They should, in year four of a rebuild, even with a new coach coming in, be in the hunt for the playoffs all the way to the end. They should be a team that is capable of winning 9 or 10 games, and that may or may not get you in depending on how everybody else does, tiebreakers, whatever. There is still a lot at stake. This is, and the, my point of saying that is that they have to value that. They have to respect how much they could still accomplish this year and get serious about fixing these problems in the red zone, these problems as far as being a steady defense, and really either some combination of tailoring the game plan to what Caleb can do
and getting Caleb to play smarter, to eliminate some of these mistakes that should be preventable.
Ben Johnson started saying a couple weeks ago, hey, we're going to play our best football in December.
But no, start now.
Yeah. Yeah, why don't you inch your way toward that?
It's week 9.
No, but, if they split the next two games even, they're 5-4 at the turn, and then with half of their remaining 8 games will be against the NFC North, 2 against the Packers, 1 against the Vikings, and 1 against the Lions. So the stakes will be higher then. But you know what? All these wins do count the same, and you'd like to see them stack them when possible. Jason? Do you have something to say? You were taking a breath as though I was not going to.
No, you're good.
Okay, all right. I'm changing the tone of my voice to indicate wrapping up. And there's your sound effect of the game, sponsored by, I don't know, let's find a sponsor for that.
Okay.
He's Jason Lee, John Pat Finley. Check us out in the Sun-Times, either in print on the website or on social media, and we will be back again real soon.